Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today we're going to talk about the pain of narcissistic abuse. Narcissistic abuse is the covert and sometimes overtly crazy-making behavior of a narcissistic personality directed towards you. It can include minimizing, undermining, downplaying, one-upping, devaluing, lying, gaslighting, flirtations, cheating, and having no empathy for your experience, to name a few. The most painful cases I've seen have been in the case of intimate relationships with a narcissist. And these are the relationships where you give your heart and soul. You share a bed, a home, maybe even a business. You might have children together. You dream together and make plans for your future together. Most people who get involved with a narcissist believe that they're getting involved in a normal relationship that has normal ups and downs. None of us really expect perfection, and so it can be easy to dismiss the red flags and strange occurrences. We tend to believe what we are told rather than what we feel. In fact, what we feel often goes on the back burner. In our society, we never really learn to trust what we feel. We're more likely to trust what we see and what we're told. And sometimes we don't even trust what we see, especially in a case of gaslighting, where we're told we don't really see what we see. We're led to mistrust ourselves, to doubt ourselves, and our own ability to properly assess a situation. In the movie Gaslight, it's an old movie, a con man married a woman with the intent of making her believe she was going crazy and would have to be put in an asylum so he could take from her her home and money. But he showed up as a kind, caring, sensitive, and loving man. And this is what the wife believed to be true. He did things like move objects in the house and mess with the gaslight. And when she would question these things, he would suggest it was her mind playing tricks on her. And perhaps it was slipping away altogether. And the more she felt she was losing her mind, the more she clung to her husband for her sanity and to make sense of what was going on. She was clinging to the very thing that was destroying her. When we get involved with a narcissist, a similar thing happens. We begin to deny our own reality and align with the reality of the narcissist. After all, the narcissist is so sure of himself and continues to enforce the idea that you are the problem. When we deny our own sense of reality in favor of the interpretation of reality given by the narcissist, we slip into denial and live a good part of the relationship in denial. The thing about denial is when you're in it, you don't really realize you're in it. We go into denial when the truth is too painful to face or when we simply don't want to face the truth. We may learn to deny what we see, hear, and even experience. Narcissists are really good at supporting the denial because they will often deny that a particular event ever occurred. I've worked with many people who have told me the narcissist in their life did something that really hurt them, and when they brought it up at a later date, they were told, "I never did that." The narcissist delivers denial in such a confident package, the one who's being gaslighted begins to doubt herself. They might say, "Did this really happen, or am I just making it up?" We can go months, years, even decades with this kind of behavior, and the longer we stay in that relationship, the deeper we must go into denial in order to remain there. Denial is actually a requirement to stay in a narcissistic relationship. Most people who are in such a relationship get a gut feeling that something isn't right, but they deny their gut feeling as well. They also blame themselves and say to themselves, maybe I'm just overly sensitive. Maybe I'm being insecure or jealous. Maybe I'm just lacking confidence in myself. One of the things that move us into denial and keep us there is a need and a desire to believe the fantasy. Initially, a narcissist might come on very strong with love bombing, or the way in which you meet the narcissist or come together may have a romantic story attached. Some people don't even like the narcissist in the beginning. But because of the persistence of the narcissist or some other circumstances, the narcissist grows on them. There's often a belief that the narcissist must really love you to put forth such an effort to secure you. Whatever your story is, it usually plays a role in your falling into denial. You want and need to believe the story. Therefore, you deny reality. Example, I need to believe you love me, so I'll ignore and deny all the unloving behavior that you are showing me. Narcissists can be pathological liars and will lie when it would be just as easy to tell the truth. Lying is how they manipulate their reality. A narcissist will get you to believe what he or she wants you to believe by lying. Lying is second nature and so easy to do for a narcissist. Believing the narcissist's lies are easy for us to do because we can't comprehend that the narcissist would be lying. Why would he lie? No matter how long you've been in a relationship with a narcissist, it's not a true relationship, but an arrangement built on lies, half-truths, manipulation, and control. On your part, the relationship was built on denial and most often surrender to the control of the narcissist on some level. When we slip into denial, we begin to lose our health and wellness. Think of an alcoholic who begins drinking more and more and is in denial that she has a problem. The more she drinks, the more she needs to create a story to justify her drinking. She rationalizes, justifies, makes excuses, and slips deeper into denial. The deeper she slips into denial, the more toxic she becomes. She's toxic not just from the alcohol she's putting in her body, but the thoughts that are in her mind. This is what happens to those of us who get involved with a narcissist. We ourselves become toxic. When our relationship with the narcissist ends, there are a lot of different things going on. Usually, the ending of our relationship is a complete shock to our denial. Or let's say that our shock begins to crack our denial. This means the truth begins to leak through. And that truth is painful. We've been denying that truth for a long time because we didn't really want to accept the truth. We didn't want to believe it. The truth doesn't just crack our denial, but it shatters our story. Our belief about the relationship we are in is shattered. The shock and shattering is so traumatic for most of us that we develop complex post-traumatic stress disorder. We can feel anxiety, panic, disbelief, ruminating thoughts, unreality, agoraphobia, and other fears and phobias. Often we don't experience post-traumatic stress symptoms until the end of a relationship because during the relationship we're comfortably anchored in our denial, what we call comfortably numb. Our denial keeps us comfortable in our toxicity. Once the rug is pulled out from under us, our denial shatters. One of the first things we do is try to find a way to get back in. which explains why so many people try to go back to the relationship, even under dire circumstances, like your narcissistic partner leaving you for someone else. I've seen women agree to be the other woman simply in order to keep some of her denial alive. She may continue to tell herself that he's just in a phase and will come back to her because she's the one he really loves. She doesn't want to let go of the idea that he really loves her. And this is what has kept her there all of these years. Even if by now she's realizing that her now ex-partner might be a narcissist, there's still a need to deny this new information. Because if he really was a narcissist, then he couldn't really love her. The need to believe this is really love keeps her holding on, waiting for him to come to his senses and realize his mistake. This need to believe it was really love also causes her to be gullible to his seduction and lies. Much of the pain you feel coming out of a narcissistic relationship is the pain of waking up out of denial. Shock and denial keeps us padded from the pain, but when the shock begins to wear off and we begin to wake up from denial, we feel everything we wouldn't let ourselves feel before. It's much like the anesthesia wearing off after a surgery. The reason I talk about the path back to self is that your relationship with yourself is how you heal. This is how you break free. You don't break free by holding on to the narcissist and the illusion you've been living under. It's good to understand narcissistic personality disorder because it makes clear what that illusion was built on. It was built on a disordered reality, a reality you subscribe to in order to remain in that relationship. But once you understand the disorder, you need to bring your attention back to yourself. What is the part of your personality that found the narcissist appealing? What was the dream you were living under? What was the story you were telling yourself? What do you so desperately need that you were looking to get from someone who couldn't give it? How far back does that need go? When you're trying to get a need met from someone who can't meet that need, you develop a neediness. And that neediness keeps you holding on. You cling to that person or ideal of that person out of a desperate need that he or she will meet your unmet needs. The narcissist can change trains by jumping from one train to the other because the narcissistic need is to be admired, adored, and even worshipped. The narcissist has a need to feel important and superior, and this need is more often met by strangers than by friends because the closer one gets to a narcissist, the more one sees. So if you ask yourself, how could he just move on like that? Understand that as long as his needs are being met, he can sustain himself. Now for you, it's different because you attached your needs to the narcissist. So where the narcissist needs adoration, attention, admiration, and to feel important, you need to feel loved, cared for, tended to, validated, and made to feel special by the narcissist, the person least capable of offering you what you need. Most people say to me, but the narcissist did meet my needs in the beginning, so I know he's capable. What you need to understand is that the narcissist met your needs as part of the seduction in order to secure you as a source of attention, admiration, adoration, and so on. Once you're secured, his needs are being met so he can go about the business of being a narcissist. A narcissist is very careless. And if you break those two words down, it is careless. He could care less about you and your needs because he cares more for his own. So now back to your own healing and recovery. You have to be the one to care more for you and your needs and less for the narcissist. We go no contact or limited contact as a method of withdrawing our attention and energy from the narcissist and putting it back on ourselves and taking care of our own needs. Your path to healing involves learning what your needs actually are. What are those unmet needs you've been trying to get met? I've been working with women and men recovering from narcissistic abuse for over 10 years, and the unmet needs most people have is a need to feel loved, a need to feel good enough, a need to feel worthy, a need to be seen, a need to be heard, a need to feel respected, a need to feel attractive, a need for affection and physical closeness, and a need for connection. Ironically, the narcissist is good at initially producing that feeling of connection. We often interpret this connection as a soulmate connection. But what that connection often is a subconscious reminder of the parent, sibling, or caretaker and how we felt with that person. Your subconscious mind makes pattern matches, and there's a match here. But that match often has feeling unloved, not good enough, invisible, or neglected at its core. This is why the narcissist is the catalyst for your deepest transformation. Because through the healing process, you get to learn what your unmet needs are. You're no longer able to live on automatic pilot, just following your attractions without understanding them. The pain that you feel is usually old pain coming to the surface. It's pain that's been put away because it was too painful to feel as a child. And if you're someone who says you had a happy childhood, I would still do this work and find the unmet needs. The pain of an unmet need in childhood can occur regardless of how happy you perceived your childhood to be. And often there's some layers of denial there too. Our pain is not usually what we initially believe it to be. We all look for an easy way out. We want to pop a pill and make it all go away. We want the quick fix, but there's no quick fix in the healing process. It is a process, and you must be willing to trust the process and allow it to take place. Otherwise, your only other option is to go back to sleep, and then you will find yourself in even deeper pain the next time you get jarred back to reality. The dark night of the soul is a time when going back to sleep is not an option. Our soul is demanding that we wake up. It is our highest path to do so. And in order to fully awaken, you need to be willing to feel the pain you've been avoiding through fantasy, illusion, and denial. Your pain's not going to kill you, and there are ways to manage it and learn to tolerate it. You don't want to let your mind go into the victim box. Yes, you feel victimized by what happened, but subconsciously you chose this, regardless of what you tell yourself. You chose it initially and you ignored the red flags, thereby choosing it again and again. And if you tell yourself, he's already in another relationship and I'm left behind, suffering the pain of what he did to me, you are actually increasing your suffering. How do you feel when you tell yourself this story? The narcissist didn't get his wake-up call yet. He's still asleep, blindly exploiting others to get his needs met. But the energetic waves of his actions will come back to him or her eventually. The more we choose to be a victim, the more pain we actually inflict on ourselves. The path to healing is not through victimhood, it's through being a warrior, a spiritual warrior, one who confronts the darkness within herself in order to bring it into the light of awareness. And this is what it is meant by spiritual awakening. It isn't some moment in time where you get the big aha. It is the process by which you bring what is hidden within the self to light. You become aware of what you were not aware of before. The narcissists of the world represent the big lie, the self-important illusion we're all living in. The narcissistic entity thinks only of its own pleasure and gain without concern for others and how they are affected. Our leaders rule by such a paradigm. Our society places its importance on money, power, and achievement, as well as desires of the flesh. Narcissism is like a virus on the back of humanity, and a lot of people are catching it. Most of us were raised in the culture of narcissism. We're being called to awaken from this distorted dream by being given this challenge of facing our pain and becoming aware of ourselves. It is a spiritual challenge, not religious, mind you, spiritual, meaning of the spirit. We need to face our pain with strength, even when it feels we've become depleted. Our strength can be found within us. Our attention needs to be turned within. Our pain needs to be felt and thereby released. And self-love is always the way. Thank you for listening and have a great day.